Oh, help, Holy Spirit. Why don't you guys just close your eyes? Because the story that the Lord laid on my heart is a very, very, very common scripture. It's Moses at the burning bush. Since we're using our imagination, if you would like, you can just close your eyes. As I was meditating and reading through this earlier in the week, I was just crying. It was just such a drawing, a pulling on my heart. And I know that's what God is doing in this season and this time. Besides your earthly fathers or your stepfathers or your grandfathers, whoever it is who has been your earthly influences, there are two spiritual fathers who are trying to make sons out of you. That goes for the daughters too. One of them is Satan, the father of lies. We'll prove here in a second that he makes sons. And the other one is God the Father. There's a war right now. It's clearer than ever. There's a war for our hearts, and there's a war for who is going to be my daddy. Who is going to be the father of my heart? Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte. And when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a grown, mature son of hell as yourself." We know there's words in the Greek for a baby. It only means baby. There's a word technon. It means descendant or offspring. It can mean a child. It can mean an adult. It just means my child, whatever age, my offspring. And then there's another word, huios, and it means a mature son. It means a son that has become like his father and that can do and think the way that the father thinks and what the father does. And that's the word. You make him twice as much a huios of hell as you yourself are. No wonder that they wanted to kill Jesus. He said, "You're a mature son of your father, the devil, and you think you're serving God." Ephesians 2:2 says, I'm cutting this the beginning off, but "In once you once walked following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the huios, in the sons of disobedience." So Jesus himself says that Satan is making sons. He wants us to become like him. And of course, God has made us sons and wants us to be mature sons. But there is a battle over fatherhood right now. And the difference is not who is stronger, because we know God is much, much, much stronger. The difference is whose voice are we yielding to? Whose voice are we listening to? Whose power and influence are we allowing to affect our hearts? So I just want to talk about Moses for a second. If we think about Moses' life from like a inner healing trauma kind of perspective, he was born in the midst of a genocide. Every single baby boy that was born was murdered. Every single one of them. So he's born in the middle of a genocide. We don't think about this, but he was the only Jewish boy his age. The only one. When he looked at all the Jewish people, there were Jewish old men, and there were Jewish old women, and Jewish young women, but there were no Jewish boys. He was the only one. He was raised in, I guess, what you would call a bicultural or biracial household. He was raised by Pharaoh. Pharaoh's daughter raised him. But when he was a baby, his own mother raised him as well. But probably once he got weaned, he may not have ever seen his mom, or probably never saw his physical dad, except for the day he got put in that basket in the river. He may have never seen his earthly father again. He was born in this, or raised in this bicultural family. When he was born, and the midwife said, "It's a boy," instead of joy, there would have been heartbreak. There would have been fear. There would have been trauma. Because now what do they do? My son's going to be killed. So instead of rejoicing at Moses' birth, there was fear and trauma. He was the cause and the source of pain. His spirit would have felt that. His spirit would have felt the abandonment and the rejection of that. Instead of his baby noises, his crying being a source of life and joy in the household, he would have been shushed. He would have had his mouth covered up. His parents wouldn't want the Egyptians to know that there's a baby here. Is it no wonder later in his life he said, "God, I can't speak very well." Some people say maybe he had a speech impediment. But his voice was silenced when he was a baby. And he was hidden. Instead of saying, "Hey, look at my beautiful baby boy, everybody." Sending out invitations and pictures and people coming over and having a baby shower. It wasn't that. No one could know that he was born. He obviously had some anger issues in his heart. As he grew up and got older, he knew he was Jewish, and he saw an Egyptian soldier or an Egyptian beating on one of the Jews. And there were two voices going on. I don't know what the voice of God was saying to Moses, but the reality was his destiny and his calling was to be a deliverer. He was to be a deliverer. And here he is standing in front of a situation that's causing him personal pain. It's unjust and not right. And there's something in his heart that wants to do something about it. There was God's way to deal with it, and then there was Satan's way to deal with it. What was Satan's way? This is wrong. This is unjust. You're called to be a deliverer, Moses. Do something about it. And he ended up murdering the Egyptian. Unfortunately, in that moment, Moses listened to the voice of his own flesh and more than likely the voice of Satan. And Moses ran for his life. He ran for his life out into the wilderness. He ends up getting married, goes to Midian, gets a wife, has children. He becomes a shepherd. There's still a call on his life. And one day when he's out watching the sheep, he sees a bush on fire. But it's not being consumed. God planted himself in the right time, in the right place, in the right season, as a God of fire into the life of Moses. And hopefully I can just pull out a couple of these things that really just stood out to me. I honestly believe that this is a season a burning bush season. God is calling to us out of His holy fire. He's drawing us near to Him. He's calling us back to deeper intimacy. He's calling us into deeper holiness. He is reminding us of who we are. He is drawing us to Himself. So in Exodus 3 verse 4, as it says that God saw that Moses turned to look at the burning bush. And when God saw that he turned to look, this is what Moses heard out of the bush. Moses, 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 Moses. I've never thought of this before for some reason, but I decided, I was reminded of some other times when God called somebody by their name twice. I just said, I wonder if there's something to this. So I looked up all the times that God called someone's name twice. There's seven people in the Bible that God called their name twice. There is an affirmation. There's an encouragement. There's a calling. There's a loving correction. There's a call against pride. And there's a sharp, sharp rebuke. But every time I was just feeling, as I was reading this, God's holiness and God's fire. We talked about bring the heat, you know? Bring God's heat, come near to the heat. Come near to His presence. He's a consuming fire. He's holy. And He's calling us to come close enough to Him to feel that heat. And He calls our name. He's calling us right now. Moses, Moses. The first time this happened was when Abraham was about to plunge the knife into Isaac. And just about when he's about to plunge the knife into Isaac, God says, Abraham, Abraham, now I know that you fear me. Abraham, Abraham. It's not just a normal everyday calling. When he calls our name twice, he's calling out of a place of holiness. He's drawing us. The other occasion was Jacob. He thought that his son Joshua was dead. And his kids went to go to Egypt to go buy some food. And they ran into this mess and accused of stealing. And he thought, my other son Benjamin is going to die. And here I am an old man and I've lost my sons. And then he hears word, Joshua's alive. And he says, oh my God. Joseph. He's alive. And he travels down and he makes an altar and he sacrifices to God. God says, Jacob, Jacob. Jacob, Jacob. I'm going to be with you when you go to Egypt. And Joseph is going to close your eyes. And you're going to die an old man. I'm going to bless you. The next time that it happened was here with Moses. Moses, Moses. Samuel got called out as a kid, as a prophet, to bring a word of deliverance. Samuel, Samuel. We know Jesus did this three times. When Mary and Martha were in the house and Jesus was teaching, Mary was sitting there at his feet. And Martha was busy serving. She's like, Jesus, make her help me. Jesus says, Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha. Can you hear his gentleness? Can you hear his love? Can you hear him drawing Martha back into correctness, calling her gently back to a place of repentance and reality. Second time Jesus did this was at the Last Supper. After they had the bread and the wine and everything was normal and it's a Passover and they're excited, Jesus says, I'm gonna die and I'm gonna raise from the dead. And Peter's like, I'm not gonna let anything happen to you. And he says, these other guys around me, they might abandon you, I won't. And Jesus says, Simon, 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 for this very night is over, you will deny me three times that you even know me. Simon, Simon. The last time Jesus did this, he was in heaven. And Saul, the man who would become the Apostle Paul, was killing Christians in the name of God. And while he was on the way to Damascus, this light came. And he heard this voice from heaven said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he basically says, you are resisting me and you know it. And it's getting harder and harder and harder for you to do it. Saul, Saul. God is calling out of the fire right now to us. And he's saying your name. He's saying my name. Stacy, Stacy. Chad, Chad. Marion, Marion. He's calling to us. He's drawing us near. And in this case, it's a commissioning. It's a commissioning. I love these verses here. I'm going to totally get all my papers all mixed up. In verse 5 it says, when he says, Moses, Moses, he says, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. The place is holy because he's here. He's calling us to a place of holiness. And he says, I am the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says, Elohim, Abraham, Elohim, Isaac, Elohim, Yaakov. I am the faithful one of Abraham. I'm the faithful one of Isaac. I'm the faithful one of Jacob. He's reminding Moses, telling him, this is who I am. It's amazing. God called a childless man. He promised a childless man a son, and he gave it to him. He promised a landless man, Abraham, a country, and he gave it to him. And he promised an unknown man fame, and he gave it to him. What Moses was actually asking for is something that only God can give. He gave continuity and significance. He gave stability and identity. This is the next thing God says in verse 7. He says, I have surely seen the oppression of my people. I have seen. There's two things going on here. There's a convergence of a man's heart. There's a convergence of a desire in a man's heart with the convergence of the desire of God's heart. That's what is happening at the burning bush. God's desire was to deliver his people. Moses' desire was for his people to be delivered. He just didn't know how to do it. And when he did it in his flesh, when he didn't do it God's way, he screwed it all up and he disqualified himself in his own imagination, in his own mind, in his own heart. And then this is what God says, I have surely seen. In the Hebrew, it doesn't mean I've surely seen. It actually says, I have seen, I have seen. I have seen, I have seen the oppression of my people. I have seen. And then he says, so I have come down. I have seen and I have come down to do something about it. God sees what's going on. He sees what's going on in your heart. He is not sitting back waiting for something to happen. He says, I see, I see. And I see you. I see you. I see what's going on with you. And I have come down. Verse 8, he says, I have come down to deliver them. Then what does he say? So Moses, go. I, God, have seen, and I am going to do something about this. I have come down here, so you go. When God comes to deliver, when God comes to save, he does it through a man or he does it through a woman. And he uses our past, he uses our pain, he uses our desires. He uses that to converge with his desires, and that's where mission meets. Mission meets where my desire and God's desire come together. And there's a calling. God works through human vessels. Moses says, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? God says, it doesn't matter who you are. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to do it through you. I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to be with you. It's amazing. You know, Moses says, I can't talk and I have all these issues and I can't do this, Lord. And the Lord accommodates him to a point. He says, Moses can be your mouthpiece, or Aaron can be your mouthpiece. Right? He accommodates him to a point. But then at a point he says, I will be with you. At a certain point, it's good for us to have self-doubt. Right? We need to lose our self-reliance. But many times our self-doubt turns into lack of faith in God. At a certain point, us disqualifying ourselves turns into sin. Because at that point, it's not just us we're not believing in. It's we're not believing that God is big enough to do it through me. That God's not smart enough to do it through me. We're elevating our sin over his ability. So, is God calling you? Can you hear his voice in this season? Yes. Saying, come closer to the fire. Come closer to my heart. Come closer to my holiness. Come closer to my presence. Come closer to the desires that burn in my heart. Can you hear him calling? And is he with you? Is he with you? God calls out to us, God calls for us, God calls into us, and He calls us out. He calls out to us. He calls out from darkness to light, from where we are to where He wants to bring us. He calls out to us to save us. Stacy. So what He said, Adam, don't you know where you are? God knew where he was. God wanted Adam to realize how far he had fallen and what he was doing. He calls out to us to come near. He calls for us to come near for intimacy, for healing. He calls into us, He speaks identity into us, and He calls out to us on mission. He calls us to go out. He sends us out. He calls us on mission. Can you hear His voice today? Can you hear His voice today? There's some awesome things that the Lord says. Exodus 4:22. He says, Moses, this is what I want you to tell Pharaoh. Thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn son, and I say to you, let my son go. That's what Moses was supposed to tell Pharaoh. Israel is my firstborn son. And I say to you, let him go. This, the firstborn was special, mostly because it carried on the legacy. It carried on the father's name. That's why a son was so significant. But also, if the father died, the firstborn son would take the role of the father in taking care of the mother, in taking care of the sisters, in taking care of the family business. And the more sons that a father had, the more help he would have, and the wealthier he would be in farming and agriculture, because he had more people to help him. And God is speaking to Israel, the ones that were in bondage. You are my firstborn son. You are special to me. You are special to me. You're my firstborn son. But he's also speaking to the enemy. You're messing with my firstborn. In this war and all this stuff that's going on in the world right now, we can have all kinds of opinions. And there is a little bit of truth on both sides of this whole fight of what's going on with racism and all this stuff. But what the black community needs to hear right now, what we need to hear right now, is they are my firstborn son. Satan is saying, use your anger, use your feelings. This hasn't been right. This is unjust. Fight back. Murder, kill, whatever. He's saying that to white people. He's saying that to people of every race. It's like, you know, in Star Wars, I love the scene where Luke Skywalker is up in the Death Star. You know, I guess that's the sixth one, which isn't really the third one. And he's in front of the Emperor. And Darth Vader's standing there, and they're going to turn Luke Skywalker to the dark side. And Luke Skywalker's confident that he won't be turned, that he's actually going to turn Darth Vader to the light side. And the Emperor is sitting there and with Luke Skywalker's lightsaber right next to him. Right next to him. And he's just staring at Luke. And he's going, I see anger in you. all you want to do right now is grab that lightsaber and strike me now. He said, do it. Do it. Use your feelings. Grab the lightsaber. Strike me down. He's trying to egg him on to operate in the flesh. That's the voice of Satan, trying to father us, trying to make us sons that look like him, trying to get us into the flesh. Use your anger. Strike me down. Do something about this. And Luke says, no, I'm not gonna. And he throws the lightsaber away. And he lets the emperor basically start killing him. Right? And Darth Vader, his heart starts breaking over his son. And he does turn from darkness to light. But all of us are hearing the voice of God, and all of us are hearing the voice of Satan. But what we need to hear is that Israel is my firstborn son. That the black community is God's firstborn son. And he wants to rescue them. Not the way Satan does, the way God does. Through a deliverer. Through deliverance. He wants to rescue every culture, every color. And he wants to remind us, if we are reminded, I am God's precious son. And it's by grace and nothing else. I'm no better than anybody else. There cannot be racism in my heart. There cannot be judgment towards other people in my heart when I come to a deep revelation that I am God's firstborn by grace. This is what the world needs to hear right now. This is the voice of the Father saying, Moses, Moses, I see. I've come down. You are my firstborn. The oppressed are my firstborn. So in that, we have a commissioning. We have a commissioning. If God is really alive, if God is really real, if God really loves, if he really sees, if he really cares, then he is calling out of the fire. He's calling our name and saying, I have chosen you. I have come down and I want to work through you. Will we respond? Will we draw near? It's scary in the fire. It's scary in the fire. But are we going to walk by God's voice? Are we going to harden our heart and not listen? Are we going to allow ourselves to be fathered by the father of lies? Or are we going to let ourselves respond to the voice of our Heavenly Father and become like him? When we do, we become deliverers. We become healers. We become reconcilers. We become redeemers because he works through us. Amen. So why don't we just stand up? So I want you to close your eyes. I don't know how you're going to do this. But there is a burning bush. There is a burning bush. And God, the Father, is in it. And he's calling your name twice. Hear him calling you.
Can you guys sing Abba again? Because when we were singing that song, and we had just sang that other one about, you know, we're going to march and all this, like, battle, and then it was like, Abba, I belong to you. And it was, again, that message of that I was hearing on Thursday, too, that I'm for you, God. He's been for us. It's time for us to be for him. And we belong to Him. And what do we want? We want the world to see a people. When they look at us, they say, they belong to God. Right? That's what we want. We want to be those people. So can we just sing that song again? You guys have that one? And when we sing it, I want you to think about that, you know, in a commissioning way. Think of Abba. I belong to you. My life belongs to you. What I do every day, it belongs to you. My time belongs to you. I give myself fully into this fire, and I say, okay, I want the marching orders, Lord. What do you want me to do today, God? What do you want me to do tomorrow? Where do you want me, Lord? How can I be used by you? What can I do, Lord? And we just give ourselves to you. So let's sing it, and let's sing it to Him.
And what I would like to do while we're doing that is if this message is touching you and you can hear God's voice wooing you, calling you closer, I just want you to come up to the front as we sing this. And I want to get Claire and Jewel and Scott and Hillary and Michael and Abby. Can you guys come up? And we just want to lay hands on you. We want to pray for you. For a fresh commissioning. This is either a commissioning for the first time or a recommissioning. Because this is what the burning bush was. It was a commissioning. There's a sending out, a re-identifying and a sending out. And I believe God just wants to give a fresh touch of the Spirit, a fresh touch of fire, a fresh touch of encouragement and identity. So let's respond to Him. We can't say, yes, Lord, I come close, and say, no, Lord, I won't go. It's the same package. It's the same deal. We're saying yes to both. We're either saying no to both or yes to both. There is no yes and no.